Okay, let's get started.
Wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioTU.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioTU.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 25 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from AudioTU.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, Shelton Muller. How are you?
Good morning, Bruce. I'm well. How are you?
Fantastic. What's new?
Good morning. Well, a good morning to all our listeners as well. Of course, that's if it is morning, they might be listening to this at night or whatever. But hello to you all. What's new? Not a lot, really. Same old, same old. Still getting a magazine together. And
we're both batching for the weekend.
Oh, well, there is that, yeah. I've sent my wife off to New Zealand. She won a photographic competition. It was the Lonely Planet travel photo competition.
Wow.
Yeah, which was quite incredible. She won it with a photograph she took in Peru. And as a result, she's gone off to hike through the Alps of New Zealand. She's been helicoptered in, and they hike out, basically. I was supposed to go, but no, I'm on deadline, so my younger sister went in my stead, and they're probably having a great girly time, and me and my son are having a great, you know, lad's time. It's movies, it's beers. Well, he's only 14, but, you know, it's good fun. Excellent. But, you know, when she comes back, it'll all be good.
Yeah. Excellent.
And you're a bachelor, too.
Yeah, Max and Kath have gone up to the Gold Coast for the weekends.
Oh, lovely. Well, yeah. If only we lived in the same city, Bruce, we could get together and have some fun.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to talk some metering modes this week.
Yeah, well, Michael from Little Rock, Arkansas. Now, that's Clinton country, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Yeah, so I wonder if he knows, Bill. Anyway, Michael, you've asked an interesting question, and I don't think it's one we have really looked into in depth here on Shutters Inc., and that is the metering modes on your camera. It's a very good question because metering is essential, of course, to good photographs, and every camera nowadays seems to have, or every SLR or digital SLR, has different metering modes. It's a good idea to know when and how to use them. A lot of photographers tend to, you know, stick to one metering mode, which is the averaging mode, and then sometimes wonder why their camera isn't metering properly and overexposing or underexposing their photographs. I suppose the answer to that is that a camera is not human, and it's designed to work to certain parameters, metering parameters that are inbuilt into the programs of the camera. And usually these are based upon an 18% gray, which is, if you were to take all the colors in the color wheel as wet paint and mix them all together, they'd sort of come up with an 18% reflection. And that's basically the way that the metering system is set up, so that if everything was a medium neutral tone, your camera would meter perfectly if you were on, you know, average metering. But that isn't always the case, as we know, and so cameras now have average metering modes, what Nikon calls Matrix, and I forget what Canon and Minolta and others have called them. What do Minolta call their metering system? Bruce, you've got one.
They just call it multi-segment metering, don't they?
Multi-segment metering, that's right. Whereby the camera takes exposure readings from various parts of the frame, sends those exposure readings to a central computer, and works out the best exposure for each. It used to actually be a lot less accurate than that, whereby the camera would meter for the entire scene, send it to the metering computer in it, and give you what would be best for, you know, the whole scene. A multi-segment metering actually takes into account large differences between one segment from another. So if one segment is perhaps metering of a high white, and another is, you know, and the majority of metering, you know, for an average tone, it will take this into account and adjust the exposure. So it's a lot more accurate than metering used to be. Nikon were the first company to come up with a multi-segment metering with the Nikon FA, I think it was, in the early 1980s. There was a very underrated and underestimated camera. What a fabulous camera that was in its day. But they have since, and as other camera companies have come online, continued to improve upon this multi-segment metering. By and large, multi-segment matrix metering, whatever you want to call it, is very accurate and can be relied upon in average situations. But if that were the case in every situation, cameras wouldn't have metering modes like center-weighted metering or even spot metering. So let's talk about those. Center-weighted metering basically is exactly as it's described. It meters from the center. It takes a greater percentage of its exposure reading, and that will vary from camera manufacturer to camera manufacturer, but I believe it's usually about 70 or 80% of its exposure metering from the the central circle. It's center weighted within the frame. And that's very, very handy if you are metering for a scene wherein the most important section, or the most important subject rather, in the frame is in the center. That's very rare, but in a situation, for instance, where you might be doing a landscape, and say the most neutral tone or the scene that you want to, the part of the subject that you want to highlight is central. You could also use that, of course, for photographs of groups of people where they may be backlit or frontlit or whatever, where there's perhaps some anomaly in the lighting. You could use center-weighted metering. I don't use it all that often because I find I'm usually going to go from multi-segment or matrix metering in Nikon's case through to spot metering. I very rarely use center-weighted, and it's perhaps something you'd need to analyze yourself as to why you would. Normally, we don't compose our photographs with the subject in the center, and so center-weighted metering to me doesn't always seem to have a benefit, but that just may be my style of photography. I would suggest anyone, of course, go out and take two photographs using the multi-segment metering and then the center-weighted metering. Spend half a day experimenting and finding out for yourself, based on your own kind of photography, which of these two you like. The difference between them is as we've described. Multi-segment takes various segments of the frame and, you know, works out the best exposure, but center-weighted just works on the central area. But let's talk about spot metering for a moment. A good friend of mine works in this mode all the time. Very rarely takes his camera off of spot metering. He's an avid portrait and wedding photographer, and as you can imagine, with a wedding, metering can be hell sometimes, because you've got, you know, a bride in white, you've got a groom in black tux or suit. So if you were to use multi-segment metering or center-weighted metering, you may find actually center-weighted metering in a situation like this might be better than multi-segment. But Greg, my friend, uses spot metering all the time. And I would actually suggest that photographers, where they have the time, use spot metering as much as possible.
And what does he do, Shelton? Does he measure off the skin tones of the bride?
Exactly. Yes, yeah. That's what I'm getting to. What he does is measure off the skin tone. And in portraiture, there's probably no better way you could actually meter for a scene than that, because the most important thing is the face. It is the skin tone. So if in a situation, and of course this is ideal for landscape photography as well. So the idea behind spot metering is that you prioritize that which you need to have correctly exposed. And in the case of a portrait, in the case of, you know, especially a wedding photograph, it is the face. And the good thing about most faces is that they are fairly neutral in terms of tone, unless, of course, you're talking about someone who's extremely pale or someone who is perhaps much darker in their complexion. Then, of course, you need to understand metering a little bit better, and we'll get to that. But if you've got someone with a fairly neutral skin tone, something that's, you know, not too dark, not too bright, you are able to use spot metering to get a very accurate exposure of the most important thing. In landscape photography, a good friend of mine named Ian Rolfe uses spot metering also all the time, and will meter for a scene based on perhaps, I don't know, maybe a rock that he sees in the foreground that is lit much the same as the rest of the scene. He'll take a meter reading off that. A lot of rocks are plain gray, so they actually make excellent metering targets. He takes a meter reading from that, sets his camera manually, and that's what you'd have to do most of the time, or hold the little button in that says hold exposure, but I usually just prefer to set manually, and then take your picture. You'll find that you'll get all sorts of, you know, variations. Your multi-segment metering will say something completely different, often, depending on the lighting circumstances, than your spot metering will. So this is where, of course, it's all a learning curve, but I often use spot metering and find it perfect for difficult situations, especially when you've got high contrast situations and you have a priority, you have a face or an element within the scene that you need to meter for. But let's go back to what we were saying before. Let's say we're spot metering for something that is bright or dark. Well, spot metering also, of course, is set for a medium tone. And so if you're metering for something that's dark, you put your spot metering mode on a, let's say, someone with a very dark complexion, someone from Ethiopia or Sudan, and they're very, very dark, you would have a problem, because your spot metering will say, oh, this is very dark, we must make this a mid-tone, and would actually overexpose. The reverse would be true if you were photographing someone who's extremely pale, or, you know, had a very pale or white complexion. the camera may say, actually, this is very bright, we'd better underexpose. It considers it, of course, correct exposure, but it would actually be under or overexposure, depending on which of the two extremes you're photographing.
That's always a problem when you're photographing snow.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Like trying to take photos of people skiing and things like that.
It is a problem. And I actually, in the snow, have known of photographers who actually find that digital SLRs work in reverse. I've got to try that myself, but that's something I might get to in another Shutter Zinc.
Okay.
But I haven't found that to be true in terms of spot metering, especially with regard to flesh tones and you know, average, say, rocks and trees and things like that I might be metering for.
Yeah.
I would suggest to all our listeners that they actually use the metering modes and get used to them, because they'll find that they are going to become much more adept at reading a light situation, and then metering accordingly, and you'll find that your photographs will improve tremendously, simply because you have highlighted the subject in terms of exposure. You know, correct metering isn't just about making sure that, you know, nothing's too dark, nothing's too bright, everything's... Correct metering also is often about highlighting the subject. Spot metering will often do that. Let's say, for instance, someone standing in a shaft of light in a very dark room. Used multi-segment, you'll overexpose if the shaft of light is hitting the person's face. This is, let's say, a hypothetical.
Yeah.
The shaft of light is hitting the person's face, and the rest of the room is dark. Or it might be light from a window, or whatever it might be. The camera will, of course, take into account in its multi-segment metering, even in center-weighted metering, all those dark areas and say, we'd better brighten this up, it's very dark in here. Well, it is dark in here, but because the camera is set to meter and make all things for, you know, an average gray tone, that's exactly what your exposure in the camera that will do. The camera's metering system will tell the camera to do. So center-weighted might do much the same, depending on the scene. You would need then to work out which of the metering systems you'd use. In this case, spot metering. But then, of course, when you're out just walking around, hiking, photographing, doing your daily family snaps, whatever it might be, it's probably wise to just set your camera on multi-segment metering and allow it to do its thing. Multi-segment metering is extremely accurate in most circumstances, but there will be times when you'll need to understand how the camera meter works, what affects it adversely, what affects it positively, and what extremes in the scene will alter the metering so that your camera's exposure will be incorrect, and then work out whether you want to use center weighted metering or spot metering. But may I just conclude this podcast by saying, go out for an afternoon or a morning, set up a scene, set your camera on a tripod, and do several different kinds of scenes, maybe a portrait, maybe a landscape, and go through the metering modes and see the differences in your photographs. Try spot metering, try center-weighted metering, try multi-segment metering. Take the photographs and then analyze them very carefully to see what's been blown out, what details have been lost in shadows, what's been highlighted, what's been lost. Metering and metering modes are essential to good photography, and they're not put in our cameras for nothing. Get used to them and work with them to your advantage.
Absolutely. Probably the only thing I'd add to that is that if you're working in spot metering mode, when you look through your viewfinder, you'll see a circle generally.
Yes.
And that is the area that the spot meter will work off.
Mm.
And if the subject you want to spot meter for, like let's say it was somebody's face, is smaller than that circle, then you should probably walk a little bit closer so that their face fills that circle. Take your spot meter reading and then go back to where you want to take your shot from.
Good advice.
Because anything outside of the face but still inside that circle will also affect the spot metering reading.
Absolutely. Good advice, and my apologies for omitting that. But yeah, absolutely. I would also suggest that when you're in spot metering mode, switch your camera, as I said earlier, to manual. Using the exposure hold buttons and all that's a bit of a pain.
Yeah.
I just prefer to set the camera manually. In fact, I work manually a lot, simply because I do a lot of, you know, my own metering adjustments. So I would suggest that our listeners do a little bit of study on the differences between incident metering and reflected metering, and perhaps that's something we could talk about another time. But once you understand those differences, you'll understand when and how to use the different metering modes in your camera.
Fantastic. Thank you, Shelton.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That was very informative.
I hope so. Good on you for asking that question, Michael, and hello to everyone in Clinton country.
Absolutely. All right, we'll talk with you next week.
You bet.
See you, mate.
See ya.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotou.com. Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear
when you want to hear it.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
Audiotou.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
control D to bookmark.
Audiotou.com.